Hi, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Tigress. I am joined by two very special people here who y'all are pretty familiar with by now. Do y'all want to introduce yourselves?
Hello.
Hi, my name's Amaya Okamoto. I'm the middle.
Hi, I'm Issa. I'm the youngest.
That was Amaya's TikTok voice.
I know.
Nebula.
If y'all have seen The Avengers, Amaya's TikTok voice is Nebula.
We all have TikTok voices, y'all. Though.
It's like, hi, everybody. I'm Amaya. Today, I'm going to be doing my nails. I'm in the studio until 5 a.m.
I haven't slept in 30.
And then Nadia's is like, okay, hi, everybody. My name's Nadia.
What is yours?
I don't have one. I'm like, super authentic. And then
three facts about my life. And this is what I learned at 18. I love my blue.
Yeah, it is a lot about blue. Anyways.
Of course. That's my child.
It is your child. Y'all haven't heard from us in like a three-person unit for maybe a couple months. And we have a lot of life updates. First of all, I graduated from Harvard. Well, I had already graduated, but we had our actual celebration. So I went to go walk the stage and I was a mess for most of the weekend because of social anxiety. And I saw my ex who also goes to Harvard.
That'll be me next weekend.
Has been going to Harvard, but he definitely broke my heart. And my sisters, Issa particularly, you were like a good wingman. Not that I needed a wingman because I'm not pursuing that, but Issa really.
No, I was a good wingman in terms of like not getting you to catch those feelings again. I was not a good wingman in terms of like
helping you.
I was a good wingman in protecting you.
You can keep telling yourself that.
Well, it's, yeah. I mean, I think with first loves, you will always have feelings.
Oh, no, and that's okay.
We cannot talk
and
first
And that is
loves.
Okay.
Because I am 6 years out of my first, what I consider my
high
first love
sweetheart.
Relationship.
High sweetheart.
My high school sweetheart. Yes. Who I dated for basically 4 years. We mm-hmm. went to Harvard together. It was like a messy breakup. I was heartbroken and celibate for like a year after that. But I feel like it's like even now I still see him and like I just melt and I don't really know what I'm talking about anymore. And my eye starts twitching. And I wanted to see him though at graduation. I really wanted to see him.
Your cheek really did twitch.
Yeah. Issa says that my cheek was really twitching. But Issa was like, I mean good wingman in the sense that like, you made sure that I wasn't super crazy. Like, she actually kind of helped me figure out, like, okay, we're done with the conversation. Like, so I didn't say anything.
We're moving on.
We're
embarrassing ourselves.
Yeah, we're embarrassing ourselves. But Issa, why don't you want to talk about first loves?
Well, you had one high school sweetheart. I had two. I mean, and I'm getting over one of them.
Jealous.
That was really, really hard. But also, I had a fifth year of high school, so that's different. Okay.
Yeah. Because you're special.
Okay, you know what? No.
We all technically had extra years, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all kind of took a gap year.
Which is okay.
But you know what? Moving on. I'm graduating high school next week, and I will be in the same position as you were.
Okay, what's kind of crazy, Amaya, as a little update, Issa is going to be seeing her high school sweetheart at this graduation. And then guess what that senior party is? The night of the graduation, there's like a party.
Is it at his house?
No, but his mom planned it and it's a pool party.
Oh, God.
Isn't that awful?
Oh, also, that's just not inclusive. Like, that's just not fun for, that's just like so not fun for everyone.
We're not going to include names.
Yeah, we're not including names.
Yeah, but that's just not cool. I don't know. I feel like pool parties have so much pressure. Like, not to make it like that, but like, you know.
No, there's definitely pressure.
There's
especially
so much
in
pressure.
This day and age, it's a lot of.
I mean, as someone who had an eating disorder throughout high school, but also like most girls and boys and whoever, most people, right? You like struggle with your body. Like, you're going to put all these teenagers together like that as their last goodbye.
The last goodbye to high school. And it's going to be a pool party.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, this also
brings
us. Well,
better show the fuck out, Issa.
No pressure.
Kidding. No pressure.
But
no
also, pressure. This brings us to another really exciting update, which is that Issa's graduating high school, finally.
Okay. Thank you for that.
You're graduating high school, and for the first time in Tigris history, let's share where you are going to college.
I will be going to Oberlin College and Conservatory. It's near Cleveland, Ohio.
Woo! Ohio!
Yeah, Midwest!
Midwest!
Hey, I'm excited about the Midwest. Our mom's from the Midwest. Amaya's in Chicago.
I love the Midwest.
I'll be a few hours away. And also, it's close to you. It's relatively close to you. Yeah.
It is close to New York, which I love.
And I could drive to see you every weekend. So exciting.
No, crash your parties. Issa, how are you feeling about how the college application process went?
It was really difficult this year. Not only just like with COVID, not being able to actually fly and visit the colleges and having to do all those virtual things, but also it was just really kind of complicated, like test optional things, essay writing from like after quarantine happening, not being able to, especially I'm an opera singer, hence going to a conservatory, but not being able to do live performances, not being able to do live auditions. And I'm someone who like thrives off of an audience as a performer. So that was really, really difficult.
I mean, creatively, and so many artists just lost their momentum.
Yeah.
Emotionally, yeah. But career-wise, especially with performance. So.
But also yay, acceptance Issa. Rates were at a historic low because all the kids who got in during the pandemic, people who like pushed back and delayed
or applied because
it was like
optional.
Truly a crazy, like competitive year. Have you ever been to Ohio?
No.
No. Do you think location is what scares you the most?
Yeah. 100%. Because I'm so excited about Oberlin. I mean, I literally, Oberlin's been on my list for many years since doing all of these like kind of opera camp things and things like that and talking to other classical musicians and kind of there's such a community there that I have not been immersed into yet. I mean, other than like short summer camps and things like that. But I really think like I'll be able to connect with a lot of new people that have the same passions as I do that I haven't really been able to do before. But yeah, Ohio.
Okay, I have a question. Let's get real here. When we know we're about to go to a new school, the first thing we do is
look for hot boys.
Look for hot boys. That's what I was going to say. So question, be real with us. Who have you stalked? What accounts have you stalked?
That was unplanned, by the way.
That was completely unplanned.
Like, this is just a thing that we do.
What have you looked for?
It's a D3 sports school.
All I'm going to say is, like, I have been trying to support Issa, and I've been stalking that class of 2026.
How many of those boys are 18?
No, not in that way. not in that way. Just, like, sending her, like, photos and profiles. Like, yeah!
Okay, so, Issa.
What
has your investigation found?
You know what? I'm really into personality. And
my God.
Oh, my God.
Coming from the Lyft girl of the family into the ultimate jocks.
Yeah. I was sending her, like cool Asian girls. And
no,
like,
and you know what? Yeah. After this year, I
make
actually...
Make more Asian friends.
I'm in the celibacy year.
Oh, my God.
I'm in the post-breakup healing.
Stop. College is
so fun. Focusing on myself. I'm going to... do my thing, work on my talents,
and
move on. I think Oberlin, Ohio is the best place for me to do that. And I'm very appreciative to everyone who has reached out to me so far because they also have, you know, willing to do. We're musicians.
Yeah, and you know, I'm really proud of you for maintaining the celibacy for what?
Two weeks?
Week?
No. No. I had a little dip there, but I'm back on the train.
Was there ever a pre?
Yes.
I will say, I do think that it is really important to go into college single because I was like half into this same relationship and it was so messy going into college and it was really bad. Like, especially because for me, I never drank before college. Mm-hmm. Issa's like different there. But like not to expose you, but I never drank. So like when I got to college, I remember getting so drunk all the time because I did not know my limits. Mm-hmm. And I was still depressed and all this stuff.
I think it's good to know your limits going into college. And thank you for that, Nadia. Because just like, you know, we made that TikTok about you teaching me how babies are made.
Yeah.
Yeah. Similarly, you taught me how to drink.
No, I did not.
Things kind of, it happens for you, same time happened for me.
Oh. No.
That is why mom
that actually makes so much sense why Issa started drinking at that age.
Oh, don't put this on me.
I don't drink, so it wasn't on me.
Well, you don't drink because you're allergic. Amaya does not drink because she's so allergic. She will have a bottle of kombucha and pass the fuck out.
The one time I did try to drink, it was like a vodka soda. Don't ask, it was the only drink name I knew at Le Bon in New York. And I literally fell asleep on the concrete, disgusting, like concrete, like floor, like gum ridden. And my friend like dragged me to like some random cabin. No, it was like not even. It was like I drank like it was like half of a centimeter. Yeah. But it's vodka and like I don't drink. So I was.
And no, but people think
Suzanne Barsh looked at me and was like, what drink do you want? And I was like, oh my God, it's Suzanne Barsh. And I said, vodka soda is the only drink I knew.
Name drop.
I mean, no, come on.
I will also you say have that to. That was not 100% Nadia. I mean, I was going through a lot during that time and like a really hard time. Like I transferred schools.
You were not in the best crowd.
Yeah. Either. And I was not in a good crowd at all. And so I think it was just. There was a lot going on.
So overall, you're excited about Oberlin, not excited about Ohio. And
I'm excited to explore Ohio.
Explore Ohio.
I don't know. My one Tinder one day hookup was in Ohio.
Barf.
Barf.
But also, it means that along with your single celibate hot girl summer, Issa's also needing to make some shmoney for college. To pay for college.
Yeah.
That shit's expensive.
I know.
Issa looked at me today and she was like, do I really need to go to college? Like,
it's a lot.
Yeah. It is a lot. I mean,
you should move to Europe. It's free there.
Yeah.
College is a scam.
Well, look, Amaya, you're still in college.
I am. And I might go back to my other college.
I know that I'm coming from a place of privilege because I went to a school with a huge endowment.
Yep.
I never paid a cent for college. Yep. They paid me to move in. Like, I'm coming from an extreme place of privilege. If I could go back and tell, like, if I did not have a free education, would I pay for college? No.
I feel the same
way. But that's
way.
Because of who I am, right? Yeah. Like, and this is, like, literally, this is not tooting my horn. This is in, like, I am not an academic test taker. I, like, learn experientially. And I'm really fucking ambitious. I would have started a company in some other way.
You also have like ADHD that was undiagnosed for a very long time.
Yeah. But all that to say, like, I don't think college gave me like a life-changing, like now I think the biggest thing Harvard gives me is a name. Like I say I went to Harvard and people are like, oh, you must be really smart.
The responsibility of a Harvard degree.
Yeah. I think that it's a platform. But I do think it's like, it really depends on what you want out of life. I told Issa, I think you should go because you don't know what you want to do when you're older. Yeah. And college gives you 4 years of structured exploration where you're literally given permission and the opportunity to explore career paths.
I mean, socially, it's the structure of having people around you. You have ready-made friends. I mean, it's the only time in your life where you're put into a classroom in specific topics that you're passionate about, you're interested in, and the people in that classroom also want to talk about it.
I agree. That's why I'm going to college, guys.
I loved college.
You, like me, don't really make friends so good.
Yeah. So
that's true. Nadia and I went
and
to socialize.
I think just hearing you talk about drinking and partying and all these things about college, like for me, like that was not my college experience. And we talk about this too. Like college is very much like your pockets of friends, your friends from this class, your friends from this department, your party friends, your friends in this hall or this dorm. Like I think that, you know, you have no idea what Oberlin is going to look like, but that's exciting.
Yeah.
I do think that at least you and I have this in common of being more introverted. Amaya is an extreme.
You think Issa's an introvert?
I think I'm both.
Ambivert.
I
don't know if Issa's an introvert.
I think that I am both.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I mean, high school has just been particularly difficult for me socially just because I transferred halfway through. I hit COVID, my junior,
senior. And you had a bag with you when you transferred.
Yeah. So I think it was just kind of difficult. And also Portland's really small. And I mean, you guys went through the high school that I transferred into.
Yep.
So I had to leave all of like my lifelong friends that I was with kindergarten through sophomore year and go to a school where I kind of revisited being the shadow of being Nadia Okamoto and Amaya Okamoto's little sister. What did they say though?
Because you were there 4 years after I graduated.
Mm-hmm. Y'all made a mark.
But like, what does that mean?
I think literally one of my first encounters on campus was I sat down and a girl was flabbergasted. She was like, oh, you're an Okamoto. And I had never encountered that before. And I think
an
it was because
Okamoto.
It was kind of like the year that you really like came into being, you know, your period girl. Like persona.
Girl boss.
shut up. On a platform like TikTok and having like a large following. And with TikTok, that meant like my classmates were seeing like our family's videos on a daily basis. And I think that that made it really difficult just for me to kind of connect with people on like a real level.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save money on your insurance? Of course you would. After all, who wouldn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all of the things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save.
This show is part of the Pro-Democracy Podcast Coalition. I think most of us agree that in a functioning democracy, the winner should be determined by the voters. Well, that almost didn't happen in 2020. Now, extremists are working to intimidate and replace nonpartisan election workers with quote-unquote yes-men who might reject election results. The only thing that will stop them is us. We've partnered with the grassroots pro-democracy organization, Represent Us, to give you the tools you need to protect free and fair elections. Learn more and get involved. Visit represent.us/pod to learn more.
Does this make you nervous in terms of going into Oberlin College now?
Yes. Yeah.
Having a TikTok family and being on TikTok yourself. Because, girl, you gained 10,000 followers this week.
It has been a little bit kind of nerve-wracking just because I've had a few people reach out to me, not in like a, hey, I'm so excited to be your classmate, but like, oh my God, I've been following you and your sisters for so long. And like, do you want to be my roommate? Like jumping to these very, weird. You know, it's just a little... It's a little weird, but I'm excited. I mean, it is a privilege to be able to kind of have these quick connections that I can talk about something with like a shared interest. So,
but what makes you nervous about it? Do you think it's like, oh, they know too much about me?
That's presumptuous. A little bit. I mean, we're on a podcast talking about our lives. Yeah. We've talked about our traumas on this. We're very open about the things that we've been through with sexual abuse, with relationships, with family, with each other, with eating disorders and my positioning as the youngest boys and things like that. So yeah, we have a very vulnerable life on social media. And I think that puts me in a position of kind of having to remake myself, but at the same time kind of having a large social
media platform. Because it's so public.
Yeah.
Would you ever consider not doing social media for that reason? Or do you think it's like it brings you too much to give up?
I actually wrote about this in my blog post. So my senior project has been doing social media.
Biggest finesse high school history.
I don't know. I had a pretty good one too.
So my senior project has been doing social media full time. And I actually had to write kind of a short essay about what I've learned this month. And my learning was that, yeah, social media is fake. All of it's fake. I mean, like, we literally have to pigeonhole ourselves into a niche in order to build a following and a platform. And so I think that it's
really... Do you really believe that?
Yes. I think it's really important to make that clear. And while my whole kind of goal of the project was to be more authentic with the following that I do have, at the same time, quote unquote, being authentic meant like creating a persona that I am not for 24/7. I mean, even there's no way, like even doing my little get ready with me's in the morning, I'm still like hitting a camera and then being like, okay, I'm going to go brush my teeth for the camera. Like I hold my toothbrush, hit a button. Like it's not like I'm just living my life. Like it's an immediate facade that you have to put on. And so, I mean, yeah, it's just.
I get the code switch. Like I get the facade. I just
Code switch is the right word.
I feel like all three of us still do exceptionally well, like fluidly incorporate social media into our life in a way that I don't feel like is too fake. Like, I don't feel like I'm...
But yeah, I think that there's a balance.
Like, it's edited, right? Like, I think the presumption that, like, people come in, oh, I watch your TikToks. Oh, I know your sister's like, oh, I listen to your podcast. Like, you don't know me. You don't know my story. But you do know a lot about me. But, like, yeah. I don't think that it's completely, like, a...
No, I agree.
It doesn't have to be, like, a whole thing. like a whole persona. It can just be some part of you.
No, no. You can break it up into different. But I think that's what Issa's saying, which is it is some part of you. Yeah. It is not the whole of you. And so, yeah,
but I don't think it's like fake. It doesn't have to be fake, fake. Otherwise, that's exhausting.
Yeah, not fake, fake. But I mean, there's a facade of social media.
And social media makes people fake.
Yeah.
It really does.
Okay, yeah, that's very true.
And I think that, but I agree with you, Issa, at the same time. Like, I always think about this. Of social media has been the fucking bane of my existence. So bad for my mental health, especially being canceled before, all of that stuff. Like, it's awful, but I could never give it up for one, it is dangerous because you get into the cycle of like external validation, right?
Or like one person says something that's really rude and you do read it. We read it and it affects you in the littlest small day-to-day
ways. It affects you the most.
Oh, I'm so sensitive.
Amaya is notoriously
really
the most sensitive.
Yeah.
Like, Issa and I can banter with each other, and I'm really good at comebacks. And so I make Issa cry regularly.
Please, no, you.
Like, sometimes I'm just like, come back to her because.
And by the way, this is a game, you know? She says, I can make you cry, and then we'll try to make each other cry.
Issa and I will literally, we will just sit there and do comebacks with each other. Amaya will try to chime in, and we'll say something like so not aggressive. Like,
and we love
it. We love
you. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Amaya will actually start crying and walk away and say she feels left out and bullied.
Like, yeah, I'm really sensitive. That's really okay. Sensitive.
That is okay.
It is okay.
I'm rolling my eyes.
Do you feel left out from the comebacks?
Yes, absolutely.
No, but I am very excited to move you into college, Issa. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be so
much fun. It's
going to
be weird because I've moved both of you guys in
multiple times. Oh my gosh, though, can we talk about how our hot single mom is about to be an empty nester?
Oh yeah,
and she knows
with a puppy. But yeah,
she has never lived alone
since she was 20.
No, I think in her life.
Like, no, she lived in her own apartment a little bit in
college. At least, okay, let's say for over a year, for a prolonged amount of time, mom went from being a kid to going to college to being pregnant with me and married.
To being a kid with a kid.
With a kid with a kid. And that's been the last.
And a kid with kids.
Thank you, Amaya. That's been the last 25 years. Mm-hmm. And now she's about to send you off.
It's scary. I mean, speaking from my perspective, as the youngest in the family, there's kind of that like, stereotype of like having the burden of having to take care of her. And I definitely have felt that in the past couple of weeks, like kind of preparing, you know, our mom for empty nesting and being the only one in the household for the past couple of weeks. It's been scary just because especially with all that we've been through as a family. I mean, we've talked about trauma bonding like on the podcast before and how the three of us are trauma bonded. And I mean, we haven't really touched on how our mom ties into that too much, but it definitely is scary having to leave our mom.
Yeah, but what does that mean? You say preparing mom for empty nesting.
Like teaching her how to cook?
Like teaching? No. I mean, we've talked about this before. How would I?
I feel like it's a little bit of, a lot of it is emotional, right? Yeah. Like mom has given up so much over the last 25 years. Like her identity, I think first and foremost is being a mom. Mm-hmm. Like
100%.
And not 100%. That she isn't, whether she's so many other things. She's a writer, she's a consultant, she's a strategist, but like she's going to refigure out who she is. Mm-hmm. And
that identity is going to.
Yeah. I think that also like, you know, we grew up together with our mom. Like, I'm 24 now. When our mom was 24, 25, she had two babies. Mm-hmm. Like, that's crazy. And so I think that, like, mom is going to do her own maturing. I think that the three of us definitely put, like, too much pressure on the dating side. And I think about this a lot because I'm always like, mom, who are you dating? Like, are you dating? Do you want to settle down? And it's not because my mom at all needs a man to take care of her. Like, that is not the case.
Mm-mm, she does not.
She's, like, the opposite of needing a man.
No.
But I think it's a companionship thing. Like, we know mom is, like, she can be alone, but, like, she loves being around us.
Yeah. I mean, it's also just a fear for our perspective. I mean, I don't want mom to be alone.
Yeah. And we low-key have had burglaries.
Yeah.
Like, our house has been broken into, and it's like, nobody's going to be there. Our dog is the opposite of a fucking guard dog.
Well, he's a pit bull, but he's a sensitive pit bull.
They're all sensitive. Yeah, that's why they're aggressive.
So I do think it's like, this is a kind of crazy next few months of change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like it's always like that,
though. Yeah. I mean, Amaya, you're about to get your nail tech license, right?
Yeah, next month, the next couple months.
Do you have a big test?
I do have a big test. I haven't studied for it. I'm a little bit worried, but I'll like figure it out.
What is the test comprised of? Like actually painting people's nails?
No. It's more of like a written test. And then I'm going to probably start working at a salon in Streeterville. It's going to be really cool.
Is that close to your new place?
Yes. But I'm going to incorporate, I think, nails into like my life. We'll see. I have like this pipe dream of breaking into like fashion or something with it. But
I cannot imagine you doing someone's nails that are plain.
No, that's my point. Is I'm a little
worried. I've tried.
A little bit worried about the salon.
I just want non-permanent acrylic on my natural nails.
No, because right now I literally reject people when they're like, I just want one color. I'm like, go somewhere else. But I'll be working at Bedazzled. It's because I'm really lucky and privileged.
Can you imagine the Yelp reviews? This bitch told me to fuck off.
I'm too boring.
She said I was boring.
No, I'm going to be working at a salon called Bedazzled, which is kind of like known for really like artistic design. So people book specific nail techs for that skill set. So I'm really lucky. I'm not like doing service work because I need the money. It's like part of my art practice, but yeah, we'll see.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, we're kicking off our hot girl, some of us celibate summers. We'll see about that.
One of us
because you're allergic to alcohol, Mia. We're kicking off our hot girl summers. What are your goals for the summer?
I'm trying to make a lot of art. I'm trying to sign my freaking lease in Chicago, moving into my own apartment for I guess the second time, but really the first time with one of my best friends. And then I got an incredible grant from my school with the Project for Peace grant. So hopefully I'll be like traveling around the US to like really important sites of part of like Asian American history. And then I'll be painting a lot of those sites. So for me, it's a lot of like personal identity, exploration, travel, and making art. I'm really, really, really trying to like dedicate my art practice to like trying to answer these questions about like, who am I? Mm. What is Asian America? What does Asian America mean for me and for us? Because that's not something, you know, we make podcasts about this. That's not something that we really learn or get to explore. And, you know, you talk to a lot of Asian Americans who are Gen Z and like, you don't know names about, you don't know Vincent Chen, you know, you don't know the I Hotel. You don't know these really important like historical figures, victims, events, part of our history, because we're like quote unquote new immigrants, right? But there's a whole history of Asian immigration and you know, Chinese railroad workers that is yet to be really, I think, tapped into in a way that I would like to for our generation. So kind of like not boring, but like pretty academic, like honestly academic and artistic goals for me.
I mean, those are a lot of different goals.
It's like one project, though. It's developing.
You're moving into a new apartment. You're finishing nail school. You're starting a new job. You got a grant, and you're going to be traveling the U.S.
Yeah, yeah. It's all going to happen next 2 months. And like, I don't know. No, I'm honestly so celibate in Chicago because I'm just working full time. So
you're not celibate in other places.
No, definitely not. Absolutely, absolutely not. Issa's making gross faces.
Issa, what about you?
Why do you do that when I talk about sex, but you get to talk about sex and I take it?
I try not to talk about sex.
But Amanda, it's because when you talk about sex, you get so descriptive.
Like, but like how, like, do you not want to hear the details?
I want to hear the details. I do not want to hear about the smell, the texture.
Why not? That is what makes it interesting.
The smell and the texture is like maybe a step too far from the details.
If I find out that I can squirt, do you not want to know that?
You know what? You just very have an artistic imagination.
But there's one thing to
explain that.
I'm just going to become an erotic a writer on the side. You should. You guys can go deal with it when I have a number one Amazon bestseller.
I will
bestseller.
Not be in the audience, but I will be a big
we
fan.
We will be when cheering his throbby- you on. Okay.
Yep. See, that is exactly why. Yep. Like,
you
can text me, OMG, I squirted. I can squirt. I'd be like, yes, girl. But then it's always like, I think it could be pee. It kind of smells like pee, but it probably is squirting because like, the texture is a little bit different. And then I'm
okay, out of everyone who should be comfortable talking about that, I feel like that would be you.
Or your therapist.
Shut up.
Well, no, listen, I'm comfortable with it. I think with anybody else,
when you
I'm
figured out that you can squirt, you told me how it felt and what it smelled like.
Okay,
You can squirt?
Yes, we can both squirt except for you, Issa. So maybe you can squirt too.
But it's more of an experience.
I thought that was
just
a porno thing.
No, it's not. You just have to hook up with someone older.
Isn't it more of just... I heard that it's just more of like a gush.
No, because it happened twice though. So if I pee, then it wouldn't have happened the second time, right?
Because a man thinks that she would have run out of pee.
Exactly.
That's her logic.
That is my logic. Because when you start peeing, you can't stop.
Wow.
Doesn't that make sense?
I don't know.
Anyways, what are your goals for the summer?
I feel like I'm in the kind of like the perfect pocket of time. I'm between high school, I'm between college. But there's a lot of pressure going into college of like choosing a major, choosing a pathway, choosing what you want to set your life up for, the prerequisites, all these things. So I'm similar goal, just kind of trying to explore those things, explore different career paths to kind of find myself. But I also need to make money. I need to pay for college. So
making money.
This summer's making money. But I think I also want to do some songwriting. I also do want to
just know, a little bit.
And reflecting on what you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you like oscillating between right now?
Well, currently I'm actually really interested in like law and society.
Okay.
But then, of course, I'm going to Oberlin, which has an amazing conservatory.
What is like a law and society?
It would be kind of like the pre-law track.
Law and society.
No, I wanted her to say it was the pre-law track.
It would be the
Issa
pre-law
track. Issa has been talking about law school, which is like very, very far in the future, but it was kind of like.
But I'm also, for like the past couple years, I kind of applied to do neurobiology, but then I looked at the prerequisites and I don't like science. Issa's like, I like neuroscience. Wait, since when does neuroscience have to do with science? I was like, bitch, what? Anyways, I'm really interested in doing pre-law now. So, but then I also kind of want to do music at Oberlin. Like I'm going to Oberlin. So
that's a very like artist thing to do. Like I play with neurobio. I know so many like CBS neuro like art kids.
No, I think that makes complete sense.
It makes
because,
total sense that you're interested in that.
Because musicians, artists are very tactile learners. We love to know
how why are we creative? How do we make create? Yeah, exactly.
As you know, you love to have an imagination. And I think that has a lot to do with understanding our bodies and understanding our emotions and why we feel the things that we feel so that we can create and do the things that we do.
Yeah.
And neurobiology explains that. So, I mean, that was why I was initially interested in it. So I found Oberlin offers a minor in music and cognition, which is like the exact classes that I would want to take in neuro. But like, I don't have to learn about atoms and stuff.
I chose sociology as my major in the end because it was the easiest.
Yep.
Yeah.
I chose sociology because I loved sociology.
Like in Harvard, it has a review of each class.
Are you doing an Asian accent?
Sorry. You can see how many hours like previous students the class took. And that's how I chose all my classes. It'd be like, oh, this class took 4 hours. No, this class took 3 hours.
That's
where
you landed in
So that's how I chose all my classes, which means, you know, I didn't make the most of my education, but I made the most of my career.
You know, I just went through and I chose all the classes I wanted to take and they all just landed in the Soch major.
You are an artiste.
No.
My goals for the summer
is... I love the social major.
My goal for the summer is I want to spend the most time with y'all because I really want to live all together, even though Issa hates New York. And
you do?
I would love to travel. What? I really want to travel.
Yeah, I want to travel absolutely. Too.
I think you all should come with me when I go to like...
Chicago.
I really want to go to the Japanese internment camps. And my friend Maddie right before this told me that I shouldn't go alone.
Yeah, you shouldn't go alone.
Yeah, I don't know if that's what I had in mind. I was thinking more like Paris.
Oh, that's cool too. We could do both. Dude, I need to save for college.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll have lots to plan. We have lots to talk
about.
You'll see on TikTok. Thank you for coming back to another rendition of A Very Unfiltered Tigress. And Issa, best of luck with the senior party pool party.
And we'll call you.
Yeah, I'll probably hear about it. Oh, and since I'll probably be the one picking you up at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Bye, y'all. See you next Wednesday.
Bye.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.